The Public Education Department will be revising new social studies standards for K through 12 students. Here to share more about this is New Mexico Lieutenant Governor Howie Morales, who recently wrote an opinion piece addressing the rhetoric surrounding these changes and proposals. Lieutenant Governor Morales is a former state senator and educator in Grant County schools. He also has a PhD in curriculum and instruction from New Mexico State University. Lieutenant Governor, thank you so much for joining us.
Anthony, it's always a good opportunity to visit with you, to be on the air, and especially tackling some of the important issues that are surrounding our state today. So thank you for the invitation.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. I want to start off with why. Why now do social studies standards in New Mexico need to be revised?
Now, this is a process that's nothing new to curriculum updates throughout our history. We did that most recently in 2017 with our science standards under a different governor, a different public education department. And this is a similar process that's taking place now with updating our social studies standards. We have to keep in mind that those standards haven't been updated in 20 years. That was in you know, a time where there's been a lot of changes that have occurred. And it's important that we give students every opportunity to have the current up-to-date events so they can be discussed, dialogue, debated, and ultimately critical thinking opportunities.
Okay, so what are some of the main things that are going to be implemented with these changes? What are folks going to see with this proposal?
Yeah, so we're going to see some updated historical events that are taking place from time of 9/11 and what happened right there. You're going to see some other discussions that'll take place. You know, we landed when NASA landed on Mars with the rover. We've seen that that's taken place. We went through a Great Recession. We've seen that there's been the capture of bin Laden. Many of these occurrences that have happened are going to be part of the curriculum. You know, one thing that I always like to share is that you have a person who has a child who's in kindergarten. That kindergartner today is still getting the same curriculum as the parent who was there 20 years ago. So I think that kind of puts it in context, the need for wanting to do that. But there'll be a lot of discussion, a lot of opportunities in these proposed standards to also include. And I think that's a key component, is that we're not subtracting anything from these social studies standards. We're adding to cultural opportunities to see some of the updated events. These kind of type of things that I think are so important, especially for a diverse state like us in New Mexico.
Okay, I certainly want to talk about that a little bit more, but I know a major component of these revisions is going to be civics, getting a stronger education in civics with students, even at a younger age. Can you address this?
Yeah, and I want to make sure and let the audience know, as a past educator who's been in the classroom, I did teach social study classes, and more so as I'm a parent. I want to make sure that as we can talk about opportunities for engagement for students, that it impacts me just as much as anyone else. And when we're talking about civic engagement, I think that that is an important component to have our students understand the importance of being actively involved in civics and community, and to make sure that it's utilized as a positive, whether it's learning how to beautify your community, whether it's learning about the process of voting and the importance of voting, especially during a time where we see that there's a lot of questions around voting. Great opportunity for our students from elementary all the way to high school to learn about the civic engagement opportunities that exist every day around us.
Some of the critics of these proposals have said that when you mention civics, that means encouraging political action or for students to take certain political action. That has some people concerned. Can you address that?
Yeah, so the term, you know, politics is really engaging in your community, engaging in civic opportunities. Doesn't necessarily mean what you're seeing as being promoted in many ways is fear that we're trying to create protesters or trying to create engagement that isn't positive. It's just the opposite. We want to make sure that our students are fully understanding the world around them and having the opportunity to know that they can make a significant difference in whatever areas that they're so inclined to do and to undertake. Again, civic engagement is a positive, and in no way should be interpreted as a way of making any negative approaches to that.
Okay, you wrote in your opinion piece that around 500 people have weighed in on the proposed changes to New Mexico's social studies revisions, and one thing that did stand out was fear. Can you give us an idea of what you mean by that?
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to be available, to be accessible to the public, because I, as I stated, coming as an educator and as a parent, you know, this takes place, and I understand we're coming out of a pandemic. In many ways, where parents had to become the homeschool teachers, and our educators did the best they could to educate them in a remote way. So there's a lot more interest and engagement within the educational journey of our kids. I want to point out that at the end of the day, what we all want is we want a good curriculum. We want a solid education for all of our children. And that's important that that is done. But when we're talking about some of the concerns that are out there, I wanted to share some calming approaches of why this is something that's important. It's nothing new, like I stated, that we did in 2017 with the science standards. And it is improvement to our curriculum, to our standards, and still giving the flexibility to that professional in the classroom to develop the lesson plans, to use their creativity in ways to engage students and to discuss all these important issues.
Now, you write that some in our state have fallen victim to the noise and falsehoods. Can you share a little bit more about what you mean by that and how you think misinformation may possibly be surrounding these proposals of social studies revisions?
Yeah, it comes at a time within our whole country that we see that there's a lot of opinions about a lot of issues. And I think that some of the terms that have been thrown out there have really been put out there to create some fear that we're going to try to indoctrinate students, that we're going to try to do things that it's going to be not in the positive light that we should. But the reality of it is, what we're doing by adding that is that we're creating an opportunity for students to see themselves in the curriculum, to have an opportunity to see those that went before them that are from the same communities, the same cultures, and what they've done within history. So I think that that is key. And when parents are concerned, and I want to stress the fact that that's why it's so important that such a hearing session takes place, that's beyond a hearing session on Friday at noon, it's a listening session for those to be voiced, those concerns to be shared, and then for the opportunities to further improve the proposed standards.
Republicans in New Mexico's House of Representatives have voiced strong concern and opposition about the proposed new standards. They sent a letter to the Public Education Department expressing strong opposition, saying these changes, quote, incorporate the fundamentally flawed concepts of critical race theory, plus impose a progressive liberal bias in regards to historical and societal events that are being mandated to be taught in New Mexico students. Will these new standards include critical race theory?
Yeah, and that's a term that I don't use because it absolutely not is incorporated in our social study proposed standards. You know, that's a term that's been thrown around and really a lot of misinformation with that. But the reality of it is that we're updating the standards, that we're including relevant occurrences that have happened over the last 20 years and doing it in a way that is going to be a celebration of who we are, of our cultures, of our diversity, our ethnicity, and providing that student the opportunity to engage in healthy discussion, to get all of the story told, and to make sure that they can make the determination of what they feel is truth.
Well, I'd like to get more of your thoughts about what House Republican members had to say in this letter. They go on to say, quote, our country's history is not perfect in terms of economic and human rights, but that does not require altering social studies curriculums to embrace a highly distorted view that the U.S. is dominated by white supremacists and racists, end quote. Your thoughts on these words by GOP members of New Mexico's House?
You know, I sat in the legislature and I have tremendous respect for all 112 members of the legislative body. And, you know, as similar discussions that happened in 2017 with the science standards, these are brought forward now. You know, but I do have to say that when you look and see what it is that the fear is out there, it's based a lot off of what could happen or some hypothesis of what may happen. The reality of it is what we're doing is we're updating these standards. So I think it's important to recognize that we've been through this before. We'll continue to move forward with this and to recognize that it's not about fear. It's about opportunities for our students to have a curriculum that's engaging, that's inclusive, and above all is going to prepare them for real world settings on how to critically think for themselves.
Now, cultural studies has sort of been an issue in some recent elections. In the high-profile governor's race in Virginia, newly elected governor of that state, Glenn Youngkin, mentioned banning critical race theories taught in schools in many campaign stops. I'd like to hear from you your thoughts about the culture wars impacting education, not only in our state, but across the country. We've seen what's happened in the governor's race in Virginia. Former President Donald Trump has criticized ethnic or cultural studies many times. Over 20 states have tried to implement laws banning critical race theory and cultural studies taught in schools. So what are your thoughts on what's really happening right now with the national dialogue, and are you concerned about how that may impact education?
I'm always concerned on what may impact education. That's why I'm here today, and fortunately with the people across the state of New Mexico support as a lieutenant governor, and specifically able to talk not only in the state but nationwide on education and curriculum building. And so I think when you look and see some of the concerns that are out there, again, there is no critical race theory components within our standards. I think that that is even a definition that people generally have a hard time being able to define. I do assure the public that what we have in our standards is addition for a well-rounded, rich curriculum, not in any way that would go in and create victims versus oppressors, but to have dialogue and discussions on what actually took place in our history and what can we do moving forward not to repeat the same things that could have taken place. I love the country. Those that maybe are in support or in opposition to this, they love our country. And again, keeping in mind that what we want for our students is a well-rounded education with every opportunity to engage. That's what these standards will set forth to do.
Okay, there's been a lot of talk and reporting about the Yazzie Martinez lawsuit facing New Mexico. How do you feel that these proposed standards can truly make a difference in educating all students in our state?
It ties exactly into what we've all known for years, that the state hadn't been doing as good of a job as we should have been doing all along. And that's providing service to our underserved populations. When we see that our Native American communities, our colonias communities, that definitely need more resources, we also want to recognize that we recognize their contributions and their ancestors' contributions to our country and what that means. And that's what these standards will do. So it only aids the state's effort to meet the requirements of Yazzie Martinez, but beyond the requirements, that we're doing what we need to do for every single student that we value so much in this state.
Okay, so we're at a time right now where New Mexico is facing a teacher shortage, especially when it comes to substitute teachers in our state. The state is asking a lot from teachers these days. Some are even having to monitor other classrooms during their planning period. So how do you implement training at a time when New Mexico teachers are really stretched thin?
And I really appreciate you, Anthony, mentioning that, because that is probably one of the things that weighs on me the most as the biggest crisis that we have within our state and within our country. While there's been side discussions and a lot of emotion dealing with the new social studies standards, I want to keep in mind is the impact that's going to take place without those professionals in the classroom. So it's a huge concern of mine. And that great point that you raised, how do we train them? I think in working with our universities, making sure that we do that, not necessarily when they get on the job, even though that's ongoing, but they have that training as they go through their educational coursework and doing stuff like that. So it's a great opportunity. Again, I would hope that it would encourage more educators from diverse backgrounds to want to go into the field, because we can celebrate the contributions that they and others have given within our history.
Okay, now this is also happening during the time of a pandemic. So does the state have a plan to, should the pandemic get worse and the state has to adapt to that and potentially go back to remote learning? We've already seen in parts of our region of New Mexico, in your county, Grant County, that county has seen one of the highest spikes in new COVID-19 infections, not only in the state, but in the country. So does the state have a plan for if the pandemic gets worse? And how are they going to adapt and train teachers if the pandemic does get worse?
Yeah, and I think, again, that's something that, you know, weighs very heavily. A sigh of relief when the 5 to 11-year-old vaccine has been made available, knowing that those that get the vaccine are going to be safe from severe illness, hospitalization, and death. So I think that's a big shift as well. But we do see the numbers continually rising. You know, the plan that I want is to make sure our kids stay in school. The problem where schools have had to close is because of staff members not being able to be covered, because having to be out because of COVID, having to be out because of close contact. You know, the key is to make sure that we can have as many people vaccinated as possible. Regardless of political beliefs, that is the way out of this pandemic. And I want to make sure that we can stress that. As far as a plan in place, again, is keeping kids in school is absolutely key. Obviously, we went through it for a year and a half of having to know how to navigate virtually. That is a plan that some schools have done already. And if we need to, we move forward. But I'm not advocating for that. What I'm advocating for is proactive approaches for vaccination, wearing the mask, keeping socially distant, and especially keeping our kids in school.
Lieutenant Governor Howie Morales, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Anthony.